Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Today I sit here proudly to tell you about mood.com. Promo code drinking bros will get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And also, they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can possibly think of. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Daddy loves those sleepy time gummies. Man, I'm out in like 15, 20 minutes. I'm talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. You get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code Drinking Bros. Whether it's Mind Magic gummies for deep work and creativity, PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. You gotta go to mood.com. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Best of all, everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the code DRINKINGBROS. So head on over to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull, Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern. Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinkin' Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. We are live from Las Vegas for Fake News Today. Sorry if we're a tad late. Long flight, Anthony.
Was it?
Yes, I was surprised. That's the first time I've gone from Austin to Vegas, and it was 3 hours.
In the air. Well, yeah, it's about 2:40 in the air.
Yeah. 2:51, and I was like, whoa, was not prepared for that. Then I looked at the old watch, lost 2 hours. So we're now officially on West Coast time.
Right.
Obviously, we're in town covering the Conor McGregor fights. John Anik will be on tomorrow for a bonus episode on our feed. So please check that out. We pick all of our winners there for DraftKings as well. Promo code BROS. So you can use that fantasy bump in the old picks for tomorrow. In the meantime, we're here to give you the realest fake news in the business, starting with the assassination of the president of Haiti. Should I give this name a try, Dan?
I think the audience is waiting for you to give this name a try.
President of Haiti, Jovenel Moïse. I think I got it. Moïse?
I don't know. It's probably French, right?
One would think. Richard Danoff is here. Big Dick Danoff is in town. He's commenting off camera. One of those names will work. He was assassinated by gunmen posing as DEA agents. Residents of the neighborhood reported hearing massive gunfire and seeing men dressed in black running through the streets at the time of the assassination. In a video filmed by a neighbor, a man with an American accent is heard shouting in English through a megaphone saying, DEA operation, everybody stand down. Now, one high-ranking Haitian official has said the assassination appears to be the work of mercenaries. The assassination was most likely due to disagreements between Moïse and an opposing politician who was attempting to drive him out of the position after his 5-year term had expired. Dan, have you heard anything on the inside?
No, I've not.
Military-wise?
No.
Okay.
I haven't had the opportunity to talk to anybody about this specifically yet, but that video was weird where a dude is yelling in a clearly American accent in English that this is a DEA operation. I mean, this is what it makes me think of is, do you remember in Venezuela, those former Special Forces guys that were contractors that got captured down there doing some kind of rogue operation or some shit?
But they didn't complete it.
And yeah. We haven't heard from those guys, by the way.
No.
Not sure where they are, but I'm pretty sure you know where they are. This is the second time in a year, basically, that operations down there, right, from Central America south, have involved American people, at least, from the presumptively American people, that, look... Dudes like to fight, for sure. especially these guys. They spent their whole life training for it. They spent the majority of their adult life in gunfights and doing all this crazy shit, but they don't just do it for free, and they don't do it randomly without somebody telling them to do it. So if there are contractors or mercenaries down there doing stuff like this, you know, somebody told them to do it. This isn't random, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the whole thing seems strange here because it's not like Haiti's a socialist country or anything. Right. Like, I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I woke up to this story yesterday and I was like, why? That's the biggest underlying question that I have, is why? Why him? He's not a controversial figure. I realize he's up for re-election or whatever.
Right.
But why would the United States give a shit about this? And then the other part of the question of why, to me, is why hasn't Biden made a statement on this, that this right. was not Americans, we had nothing to do with this?
Well, look, when people say Americans did this, that doesn't mean the American government did it. There's a lot of fucking contractors out there that have that don't work specifically for the government, right? Like, big companies have contractors working for them to do, you know, close personal security or emergency management. There's all kinds of reasons somebody like that might be employed by a large corporation that might be trying to do something in the Dominican or Haiti,
yeah.
right? That would fucking whack the guy out. I mean, come on. This is nothing new. Corporate espionage has been around for a long time. It doesn't really get into violence as frequently as some of the other types of espionage, but it does happen, right? My guess is, and I'm not the first person to ever say this, but what I always say is follow the fucking money, mm-hmm. right? That's the motive at the end of the day is going to be money for somebody. And that's the person that you're going to be able to catch, probably, because people that are trying to hang on to their money make mistakes a lot. This seems real fishy.
Yeah.
It seems like this dude got clipped for some reason by somebody outside of just Haitian politics, right? People don't go outside for U.S. mercenaries, who, by the way, cost more than most other mercenaries, to do some low-level hit job. Like, not that the president of the country is low level, but it's Haiti, man.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They're not going to go to America. They will go to Russia or even South America, go to Brazil and into their military or something like that. They wouldn't do this.
But why not make a statement if you're the president of the United States saying, look, we had nothing to do with this. We're looking into what's going on, and we'll circle back right. if you're Jen Psaki. I think getting out ahead of it, because, yes, in that video, it is clearly an American accent. Mm. The garb to me seemed like, you know, the special forces, like, hey, we're going in there.
It was a little Gucci flodge, you know. Yeah, it was. It's real interesting. But look, a lot of people don't remember this company called Executive Outcomes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was I think they were based in South Africa, and they were the first private military contractor, I think, in the modern world. And I believe it was 1988. They basically took a couple, like 200 guys or 300 guys in, and took over the entire country of Sierra Leone, right?
Yeah.
And then the UN banned private military contractors for a while mm-hmm. before, you know, it became in vogue again. And people, this is always a problem, right? People that get out of the military, like, well, what am I going to do now? If you were a truck driver in the military, you could just go drive trucks. If you learned how to do tech, you could do tech. There's a lot of translation there. And we've learned a lot about how to translate the leadership skills part into corporate structures, kind of like what, you know, Burbis tries to do and Rob O'Neill's charity as well, right? But shooters, there's not a whole lot of job. Like, you don't take an infantry guy and make him a cop.
Sure.
People see that as a similarity, but there's nothing similar about those two positions. So if there's a way for these guys to make really good money, you know, fucking, they're going to do it.
But where do you go? Where do you go? Like, that's what I always wonder. If you do something like this, you clearly probably can't get back into the United States. Somebody's going to figure this the fuck out.
I mean, usually the way the agencies handle that for years is the agency owns all these private fucking cargo companies. And they just throw you back with cargo and you fly over there with no passport, sneak into the country. They've been doing that shit for years.
Okay. I mean,
you saw some of that in that Tom Cruise movie about cocaine. They already had that whole system set up for that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's been, I'm not leaking private information is what I'm saying. That
sure.
Shit's that's been going on for years. That, I mean, how prove that they were out of the country in the first place, right? You don't even know who you're fucking looking for. I'm the Lizard King. You don't even know my fucking name, right?
Right.
That's Robert California.
Yeah, obviously. But, yeah. You know, with that, are you looking at it, and this is me asking because I don't know, do you take a big payday on something like this? and then just go and live in fucking Belize or, you know, some place like that? Is like, is that what typically happens?
I mean, I would buy crypto with it because good luck catching me then, right?
Sure.
But I don't know if I would leave. That looks way more suspicious. If you're a somebody that falls into the category of a human being that could accomplish that, and you meet the demographic requirements as well, like having an American accent, for example, you're on a list that's going to get read at some point. And you don't want to be the guy that left 3 days after it happened. You know what I mean? Because then you get onto the smaller list, and then smaller and smaller. Just act normal. So if it's if this was some guys working for a private company or one of these political rivals down there, I very seriously doubt they'll ever catch them.
Okay.
These guys are pretty good at doing that stuff.
Okay.
But who knows? Right? Maybe the U.S. government was involved. I don't fucking know.
I don't either.
We've
man.
Done a lot of stupid shit over the years.
It's just a strange story that literally came out of left field. I'll be curious to see how this unfolds, because it's not every day a president of a country gets assassinated, and then it's like, well, and then here's a 4.8 earthquake in San Francisco today. Like, they're going to follow up on this. You can be for goddamn sure on that one. Next up, Florida switches from rescue to recovery after the condo collapse. And I think, look, I think we all knew this was coming at this point. Whenever they say 150 or 179 are missing, and you see a catastrophe of that size, I don't assume any of those people are still alive.
Yeah, I mean, they've...
How long has it been now?
Since we last talked about it, they've found a couple, I think, six more bodies. So yeah, they're up to 54 now. This, I don't know, man. That, look, there's no, at this point, no hope of finding any survivors, I don't think. Right? There's how could that be possible? Unless they had, like, I don't mean to be coarse, but unless they had like a bottle of water and a fucking Kit Kat in their pocket, how the fuck have they survived this long?
Right.
At this point, there's no fucking way.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I know this story, you know, like we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, is only going to grow and then spawn other condos and shit to close. One of them was in Marina Del Rey, where I used to live in LA, and I had looked at buying a condo in this exact unit. Residents are freaking out. That building, they're debating whether or not to close it or not. I know another one in Miami Beach got closed. And then they're debating about a third building at this point. I think at the end of this, once they start going through the codes of all these buildings and how they were built, in particular around the water areas like Marina Del Rey and Miami and things like that, I think you're going to see a lot more of these get shut down for fear of this happening. Because when this finally shakes out, you're probably looking at close to 200 people that are dead.
Yeah. And that, this is a real problem, by the way, for the what do you call them? For the globalists, I guess, like the Blackstones, this company that's going around buying up all this property. Their intent is to dispossess wealth from the middle class, right? The biggest voting bloc. They want them to be as subservient as the lower end is right now. And as we know, most middle class people make the majority of their wealth on the equity in their mortgage. We also know that over the last 25 years, home ownership has gone from 64% in the middle class down to 46%. More people are renting now that are owning their own homes that are 30 and above in the middle class. Big problem.
Yeah.
Because that whole block of people are no longer creating any kind of wealth, much less generational wealth.
And it doesn't make any sense to me with interest rates as low as they are for houses. I mean, you're in the, 2.5% rate right now?
Yeah.
Richard, shit, you're in real estate. What's what's the interest rate right now?
Between 2.25%.
You can grab that microphone. Go ahead.
It's anywhere between 2.25% on a 15-year, all the way up to I'd say 3.125.
Whew, that is low, my man. That is low. I remember in LA right before that housing crash in 2008, you were lucky if you were getting 7. Lucky, and I mean we're nowhere near that.
This is a big problem for these people though. This Blackstone company that a lot of people are talking about now that have offices all over the country in D.C., et cetera, that are buying up. Like the people that are coming into your neighborhood and offering people $1.4 million for the house, that's who it is. It's that company. And what they're doing is this is my guess, but I think they're going to convert all that shit into farmland and push everybody into the cities and build high rises. That's what they've been doing so far. More high rises have gone up, right? But if this is a huge complication for them, right? huge complication. I would expect to see payouts to the victims' families of 30% more than what you should expect, right? Because they just want people, they just want it to go away. And it's not because of the low level, the guy that owns one or two high rises or whatever, that he's a 100 millionaire. These are like 100 billionaires that don't want heat on their fucking new shit. That's
right.
What it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So this is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out. Always think about motivations. Cui bono? Who benefits from this action happening? If you see something that should be getting taken care of and it's not, and everybody's paying attention to it and it's still not getting taken care of, that means somebody's stopping it from getting taken care of.
Right.
And it's always somebody that wants more power or more money.
Yeah. And, you know, the farmland thing, you're the second person to tell me that. I don't know what
Why
they want to
do with
it. Why do you
think Bill Gates is buying all the farmland?
Yeah, dude, I know he is, but
well, here's
what
they're
going to
do. You move all the middle class people who live out in the hinterland, if you want to call it that, into the cities. Now everybody lives on top of each other in stacks or whatever you want to call it. And the farmland is all owned by billionaires, right? Food and water, those commodities, they all exist out here on land owned by the richest people of the country now.
Right.
Solely by the richest people of the country now. Now, how do you think that turns out?
Yeah. It makes sense. It's just so bizarre to think about. And the only guest we've had walk off our show was the co-founder of Vox. And if you remember... Yeah. The name of that book was called...
1 Billion Americans,
yeah, one. It was about why America needs 1 billion people in it as fast as possible. And he wanted that, high-rises and all that other shit. Yeah. I'm like, why? It'd be awful. And then you're going to deal with situations like this where, shit, you look at the cost of lumber and cement and everything that's going on now. These buildings, they're going to make them cheaper and faster to get all these fucking people in there and to make the most money as they can. But that is not going to mean safer for all of these
buildings. No, it'll mean exactly the opposite of safer. For
yes.
Sure, yeah.
Yes. Yep. And it sucks, man. Every morning I wake up and I see, you know, 6 or 7 more people dead. And you're just like, fucking A, man. Anywho's, time for our first sponsor, which is GhostBed.com/drinking bros. They may or may not still have their 4th of July sales up. Wink. I think they do. Someone in their IT department usually is a little late at pulling them down. So go out and get a bundle package there. I believe 40% off of the bundle package is there. 30% off everything in the entire store right now. And if you get a mattress, you get 2 free pillows. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there at GhostBed.com/drinking bros. As long as you have decent credit. Richard, you have a ghost bed, don't you? You got the you have the cooling one?
I have the Lux, correct.
Yeah, that's the one I have.
The free protective mattress.
Nice. Cover. How nice is that goddamn thing?
Oh, I love it. It's probably 5 to 10 degrees cooler than a normal mattress.
I don't know how they do it. I asked Homeboy at a dinner one night, and I was like, how the fuck are you guys doing that?
Well, the Lux, I think, has 13 different layers, and I think 8 of the layers are cooling.
Mm. Jesus Christ. Big fan. Look, and all the reviews on the website are by you guys. It's the listeners. So when you go to ghostbed.com/drinkitbros, all the reviews are us. So this is the one community you can trust the most. Next up here, hundreds of businesses have been hit by yet another ransomware attack. Hackers hit a range of IT management companies and compromised their corporate clients by targeting a key software vendor called Kaseya. Looking at that, man, best in the biz at pronouncing these
I have
names.
No idea how you say that word either, though. So
this one, man, I actually have a little bit of inside info on. I'm going to figure out how to word this. Potentially a neighbor of mine. Mm. Works for one of these companies that deals with hacks. Here's what he told me last week. He said about 200 places got attacks on the same exact day. And where these jobs used to be work from home, they're now demanding that they go back in and work in the office together because there is so many fucking attacks. Mm-hmm. And he goes, it has become like whack-a-mole where it's like, dude, if you think you have one put out, there's another fucking 50 or 60 there. And here's what he had said. He said most of it was Russian or some of these Eastern European countries where there are Russians living. And he said that's why all this shit is getting attacked. But he goes, it's getting worse and worse by the day. On Monday, the attackers in this one demanded a $70 million payment in Bitcoin in exchange for a decryption tool that could help victims recover from the attack. But this company is saying around 50 of its customers had been directly compromised. Look.
This is a pretty interesting situation. To me, this seems like, and I don't want to stay on this conspiratorial tip, but this is one of those crimes committed that needs some kind of world organization to deal with, right? Or at least people feel that way. And it's like if you're trying to create an environment where people would be more willing to accept control from outside of their own country, this is the way you do it, frankly. War won't do it. You can't do it with war. But when you start taking people's assets, when some ghost can float into the room on a fucking electrical current, steal all of their money, and then leave without a trace, that scares people.
Yeah.
And it should, right? It should scare people. The problem is a lot of this stuff does happen in North Korea and Russia and shit like that. And compared to like a state, if there's like a local cop that's a fucking shitbag or something like that, he might let, if he's the police chief or the sheriff in that town, he might let people cook meth, right? But it's eventually the state police are going to come down and arrest that asshole, or the FBI or somebody else. There's no other upper layer of protection, technologically speaking, outside of each individual government, right?
Right.
I mean, the UN doesn't do anything. It's not like NATO has a fucking tech department that's doing anti fucking cybercrime, right? It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to create another layer of international government like that and bureaucracy, this is the way you do it. You just allow this to happen over and over again, and you keep talking about it in the news every single day.
Yeah, my biggest fear, again, that it, you know, I know I've said this in the past, and I'll say it again, is banks. If they get a hold of the banks, because then we're all fucked. And I know, look, the FDIC insures up to $250,000, but still, there will be a gap in days, and I don't know how they could cover that much money if they were to wipe out a Bank of America or a Wells Fargo or something like that.
Well, they would have to shut the market down. Like everybody remembers
correct.
Jimmy Stewart pleading with people not to make a run on the bank in that movie, right?
Yep.
So that's what they did with Robin Hood.
Well, right? 9/11, too. They shut the market. Yeah. They turned it off.
But this isn't... Now they have the ability to actually do it. Like back then in the 30s or whatever, during the Depression, or I guess in the late 20s and early 30s during the crash and Depression, they didn't have the ability to just, they could turn the stock market off, but they couldn't tell people, no, you can't draw your money out of the bank. Now you can fucking do whatever you want, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's less of a threat now than it was then in that regard, but the threat is much larger because there's no such thing. People don't have paper currency. We also don't have gold reserves backing our currency. This is all fucking make-believe.
Yeah, right? yeah. And that's what crypto feels like, too, to some people, where it's like, you know, we had the head of the Alpha Investor on yesterday, and he was saying, look, man, I just can't justify putting my clients into crypto. It's kind of make-believe. I don't know where it ends, where it goes, anything else. But, you know, to be honest with you, if all these people are asking to be paid their ransom in crypto, clearly there's something to it. So, I don't know, man. All this shit scares the shit out of me. Man, I would say that's my biggest fear, is an attack on the banking system and it wipes out our accounts.
I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm afraid of it, but I definitely think the consequences are going to be in line with your level of fear. Like, I don't personally give a shit. I'll just go live in the woods. But, yeah, it'll be fucked if that happens.
Yeah, I can't take my kids out to the woods, dude.
Sure you can.
No, I can't.
Just take them to Tim Kennedy's house. They'll be ready for war in like 25 minutes.
But then here's my fear in that, is I show up at Tim's house. There's going to be about 4,000 people already there asking Tim to take
care of him. You live closer than most people.
I do. I can get over there fast.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say where he lives, but Tim, just know if the bank's shut down, dude, and we have to go live out in the woods, I'm coming to your house. next up. We got Raycon.com/drinking bros. Man, I'll be real. We were testing out some of their new headphones.
I've been using them on the road, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be chatting about them in a few weeks here. They've got the big boys now. They've got the big boys. So those are out, dude. And maybe they'll be replaced on the show. I don't know.
They're actually really good.
They're the best.
Yeah, they're really fucking good. They fold up nice, tight, and compact. Very loud, good bass. They actually don't make my ears sweat like that other brand does.
Yeah.
I don't know what material Dre used to make his fucking, the whatever the
Beats by Dr. Dre, yeah.
The covering of the ear thing, but this one is way fucking better.
It is.
But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the work earbuds.
Not at all. The reason I bring those up first was their wireless earbuds were my favorite as well, and the fact that they're dipping into this market afterwards and they knocked it out of the park. Dude, Raycon's becoming a fucking massive company, man.
Yeah.
They're wireless, dude. I know that I've said this on the show a million times. All you guys have them as well. Best wireless in the biz. I mean, you put them in a case. Those fuckers charge up for 6 hours, dude. It is 6 hours of listening. They're the only ones that are priced appropriately in this market, in my opinion. I think the Beats are too fucking expensive. They don't give me the bang for the buck like Raycons do. And, you know, if you're running, jogging, if you're on a treadmill, these things stay in your ear. They come with like 90 rubber pieces that will fit any ear hole size. I have a large ear hole. I don't know why. I'm going to have to ask God on that one. But in the meantime, I'm glad that my ear holes are filled up with Raycon by fucking... God damn it, dude. It's buyraycon.com/drinkingbros.
You get 15% off that order.
Whew, I got a little too excited, Dan. Yeah, couldn't even get it out. So Raycon is offering 15% off their products for all our listeners. Here's what you got to do. Go to buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. You'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. It's a great deal. You'll want to grab a pair and maybe even a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. Buyraycon.com/drinkingbros. I love these things, man. I have zero problem promoting them. You can tell how fucking amped I am about them. And the new ones, be on the lookout for those because we'll be chatting about those soon as well. Next up, we are in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas FBI agents are exactly what you would expect. This is a fun one, Dan. Mm-hmm. Did you expect anything less out of these guys? An FBI agent from the Bureau's Las Vegas office has filed a lawsuit claiming she was subjected to repeated sexual harassment in a work environment resembling a frat house. You don't say. In Vegas.
Yeah.
Come on.
Imagine that.
Along with facing unwanted sexual advances, Special Agent Karen Veltri was sent a photo of a rainbow-colored dildo by a supervisor, probably for Pride Month.
Yeah.
I like the theme of it.
You got to support people, right?
Yeah, you got to support the month. She first reported the behavior in the spring of 2020 and claims she was sexually harassed by the supervisor she reported it to. Later, the same supervisor that sent her the dildo picture sent her a text asking for Justin Bieber dick pics along with a photo of a unicorn with a rainbow-colored horn. Now, this one I can speak to, okay? So there is some Bieber dick pics out there. I understand that. They're kind of impressive for his size. So I'm in on the joke, FBI. I think it's funny. I'm sure this lady did not.
I've got a bit of a hot take on this. I think this is not about that man sexually harassing her. If there's more information where he's sexually harassed, where he was like saying, hey, you look hot today, or hey, would you like to go out this weekend, and unwanted advances on her, that would change my opinion on this, but I haven't seen that. From what I'm seeing, it seems like he thinks of her as one of the dudes, because this is how we talk to each other. We send each other pictures of weird shit and say, hey, did you see fucking homeboy's dick pic? This is how two men talk to one another. So is this equality? You know what I mean? I'm not even fucking kidding about this.
I'm not either, because the rest of this suit alleges that the supervisor bragged about the number of firearms he owns. Yes, that's something a dude would do. As well as how much alcohol he could drink. Yet another thing a dude would do. Giorgio, you just popped in. Like, it's not often you pop behind because you can't take it.
I had an epiphany, Ross. Like, I think there's a conspiracy.
Okay.
There's too many good celebrity dick pics. There's been a lot recently. Other than the Favre, like, we haven't seen some real bad ones. So I think these are purposely leaked dick pics.
I agree. Altered
DPs that are purposely leaked out there to kind of like boost somebody's, you know.
Well, the Bieber one. Yeah, the Bieber one, his dad was actually bragging about the size of his son's dick, which is
weird. That's real creepy.
But then the pictures magically came out a couple months later. I think there might be something to that. And then, Dan, I'm with you on this. this is normal dude stuff. You know, yes, she probably
works.
This
sounds like two men talking to one another, to be honest.
She probably works in a boys' club. I understand it.
Is that the point? Or, like, where's the line, I guess, I'm asking? How much of a woman do you want to be treated like? And how much of one of the guys you want to be treated like in the workplace?
Yeah. Right?
I'm not suggesting that she's wrong or he's wrong or anybody's right either. I'm just curious where the fucking line is. And if it's different for everybody else, if they're not an absolute standard, then you can't fire and ruin people's careers because they missed a goalpost that they can't fucking see. Tell people how to act. And if they act that way, great. If they don't, then you can fucking do something about it. But this is nonsense, right?
Yeah. And with, you know... Whenever you work in a field like this where it's dominated by men and there's hardly any women around, of course they're going to hit on her.
There's nothing about hitting on her in this.
No.
He's sending her weird pictures, asking for a celebrity's dick pics, and then sending her pictures of him at parties and shit.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's unprofessional. For sure it's unprofessional. And the supervisor, probably not a great idea to be doing that shit.
Sure.
But if they were colleagues, like two people working at the same level, this seems like two dudes talking to me, frankly.
Yeah. So, fuck. I don't know
what to tell you.
I don't either. Look, if you are two dudes talking to each other, you should do it on some Drinking Bros chairs.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the merch store. So I ordered two of them and just had them sent to my house.
Yep.
My child took some pics in those chairs. They're phenomenal.
They're really good chairs, yeah.
And they're cheap. Like, I was surprised.
Relatively inexpensive.
$59, yeah. Dude. I got that fucking chair for $59. Yep. It was great. It was shipped to my house in 3 days. We're on it, dude. The merch store, drinkingbros.com, is on the shit right now. Chairs, I got a cooler. I got a Drinking Bros podcast cooler that was sent to the house.
Yep.
And then you were gone, and they sent a bunch of test products to the office.
Mm.
The Defund Politicians mugs are out.
Yep.
The ones for drinks, the summertime drinks. All a ton of Drinking Bros.
Well, those are the beer pong cups. Yeah,
dude.
The beer pong cups are good to go as well. And
those are out. I ordered those as well. Yeah. Those are phenomenal, dude.
I think we got hats coming, I think, next week.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
But in the meantime, go to the drinkingbros.com store and check out all the new merch. There's a ton of it in there, man. And it's great, especially for tailgating season for college football, which is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. Next up, Sacramento Thief. Steals radioactive device. Last weekend, a thief broke into a car and stole something so dangerous it has federal agents on alert. The thief stole a device called a nuclear gauge, which contains a radioactive element called cesium-137. If misused or tampered with, the cesium could become exposed and begin leaking radiation, which is always fun, causing serious injury or death. The device was stolen from a work truck belonging to Wallace Cole, a local engineering firm. The firm says the gauge was secured in a locked metal box bolted in the trunk. The device is used at construction sites where it shoots a beam of gamma rays into the soil to measure the density and moisture content of the ground. Whew. How does this get out? I mean, this seems like a Doc Brown Back to the Future sitch where it was like, why was the plutonium out in the
I think
open?
This is a pretty common, well, he got it from the Libyans, right? But I think this is a pretty common device used by people in construction now. So it's going to be around.
What do you do with it, though?
What do you mean, what do you do with it? It fires a gamma ray into the ground, and based on the ping back, you can tell what's in the soil, like what's under the ground, right?
Okay.
So it's very useful for that kind of stuff. Measures density and how wet the ground is. Like, if there's a water table, for example, you don't want to build a high rise on top of a water table.
Right.
Clearly.
Dan, do we use this to measure celebrities' dicks if they were really that big?
Ah.
You can measure the density and the moisture of the dick, sure.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
I don't know really what that would tell you, though, based on... I would assume that the density and moisture of dicks are pretty much the same, right?
Sure.
But who knows? Maybe I'm wrong.
One would imagine, but I don't know. Now, if
there's some crackhead right now, though, and he's starting to feel sick to his stomach and he doesn't know why.
Yep.
It's radiation poisoning, bro. You're going to die in like 3 days, probably. Sorry. Don't steal shit.
If there was a device, though, to check like proper girth.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd steal this thing.
I think they should make, you know how you can get that key ring thing and it has all the ring sizes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're trying to get your ring size or whatever the fuck. What the hell?
Perfect.
Get it for dick size.
Perfect.
I don't see the problem with that.
Me neither. Next up, Jeff Bezos sets a new world record for being insanely rich. This one came from the government, Dan. This was a government contract. The world's richest man became even richer, setting a record with a net worth of $211 billion. Is that post-divorce?
Yeah.
Oof. Yep. So he was double that before?
He went down to, well, he was at 140. He went down to 70. Now he's back up to 211.
Okay. On Tuesday, Amazon shares rose close to 5% after the Pentagon announced it was canceling a cloud computing contract with Microsoft. The announcement raised Bezos' fortune by a staggering $8.4 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. The last time anyone in Bloomberg ranking had gotten towards that amount was, I think it was Elon Musk, right around 210, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in January.
But both of these guys have kind of traded, what, off and on the last couple of years, being the richest and then not the richest and everything else. With Bezos, now this was something that you had brought up, man, probably about a year ago, and you were correct in this. You had said, hey, dude, watch out for the cloud and then the storage behind what Amazon's doing versus, you know, Prime Originals and the shipping and all that other shit. Because that AWS is creeping up there and taking over everything, right?
Yeah, AWS is it's the backbone of the American internet, business-wise especially. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, it is. And it's not that's going to continue. And, you know, look into this further. We're not going to go into it on this show today because I don't have all the facts in front of me. I'm going to be looking into it, so look into it for next week. But there's something weird about how Bezos negotiated this deal. And the players that were involved in all that stuff, this might turn into something sometime in the next few months.
I agree. Like when I saw this pop up, I was like, ah, why Bezos? I mean, you could have gone with, I don't know, let's say a Salesforce, for example. But you went with Bezos on this one, which leads me to believe there was some kind of wink-wink back alley fucking handshake that we don't know about.
Well, I mean, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post.
Correct.
Right? So, you know.
Want to keep the stories positive.
Yeah.
Out of there. Especially if you have a president that is incapacitated. Mm-hmm. I totally understand it, but man, it stinks. I'm with you. There's going to be more to this story coming up here in the next
Bezos
few
isn't
months.
Even doing anything anymore. He doesn't work for the company anymore. He just owns 11% of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything. I mean, he hasn't needed to do anything in a very long time, but he certainly doesn't even, he doesn't even show up to work, I guess. Now, I don't know what the fuck he does all day. Try to spend $200 billion, I guess.
I don't know, man. I mean, I know he's stepping down as CEO of Amazon. Somebody else is going to run it here. And
he's the executive chairman of the board only now. He's done it. He's been done with CEO.
Correct. And he's going to space, what is it, the 20th?
I think so, yeah, but isn't, so that's a good point because, wasn't Branson trying to beat him by going last weekend and he didn't?
Yeah. Yeah. So Big Dick Branson was trying to go.
I think it'd be funny if Branson went one day before him. The problem was with that is those flights get called off all the time.
Oh yeah.
So you need a little bit of a buffer. So if Branson's going to fuck him over, it might actually be this weekend. Maybe that's why Trump is going to be here at the Conor McGregor fight to announce that Richard Branson's going to space.
I think it is June 11th, actually. The day after the fight is when he's scheduled to go up. But when you're that rich and you're a Bezos or a Richard Branson, you want to make sure everything is perfect or else you don't go up at all.
No.
So it could get dicey here. I wonder if Branson just says, look, man, I've done everything there is to do in this life. I don't even give a shit if it's cloudy. Let's launch this fucker. I just want the record. If you die in space, you die a hero. I know you and I are going live for this event because we want to see Bezos die. But if you're Branson, I think you got to do it. If you want to be that guy, right? Because he's kind of fallen behind Musk.
I mean, if he's the first guy to go to space, then that cements him as like,
yes,
he's always in the conversation for goat billionaire in America, right? After that. So not a bad idea,
man. Look, either way, I'm amped about it. I don't know what time it is on Sunday. Again, we're live in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm not sure based on the flight time if we're going to get to see it or not.
Yeah, we may fucking see it from the sky.
No.
Big fireball. It just goes right by the west. Yeah.
Playing and it's, oh shit, that's Branson, dog. Yeah. He's fucking dead.
Yep.
Man.
That would be pretty, I mean, look, I don't want him to die or anything.
No.
That'd be pretty dope.
But it's a great way to go out.
Like, you know, yeah, that, good for
him.
Some
people were pissed off at me for the t-shirt I made for Bebo Russell.
Why?
Because they were like, oh, how can you profit off another guy's suicide or whatever? First of all, we didn't make any profits. But secondly, we did it to praise him of like, dude, that's an all-time way to go out if you want to go out in this life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like hanging yourself or fucking taking pills and just, you know, flopping over. That's not epic. Like Branson, if he dies going to space, oh, congratulations. I mean, it's like an episode of fucking Silicon Valley. Like that would be.
That'd be pretty funny.
Be hilarious, yeah. Dude. Same with Bezos. Because his brother's on the goddamn plane.
Mm.
So not only are you losing Bezos, but you're losing the gimp of your brother too, man. That's a double Bezos dip.
Who gets his 11% of Amazon if he dies?
The mistress.
Yeah. Does he have children? He's got like adult children, right?
Does Bezos? He does. Delco Dan is saying he's got adult children who live
in this world. If you were able, like you can do whatever you want in your will, but is there... is there ways to get around enforcing weird shit? For example, if I'm just Jeff Bezos and it might make my will say that I want all of my Amazon assets sold, I want cash for that, and I want to burn it in front of my children.
Yes.
Is that illegal?
No.
Or can they stop me from doing that?
Nope. I just had this conversation because I'm working on a trust right now. Mm-hmm. And they gave me one of three options. They were like, hey, everything can go to your wife. Or things can go to your best friend, or you can divide up your assets now in case you guys get divorced. And then it's sort of like a pre-divorce where it's like, all right, great. Property, all that other shit is determined already. And you can get weird, man. I mean, look, when my Gammy passed away, by the way, it was the second COVID shot on that one. It was in her will that she wanted to do, have her ashes spread on this pontoon boat, right? Out into the water. So we did that, but we didn't know until we got the will.
Mm.
So like, you know, I'd found out and I think we planned it, you know, a couple months later, but yes, you can ask for whatever you want. Now, if you want to enforce it, Dan, the best way to do it is offer somebody money and say, look, I'm going to give you $2 million. However, I need you to burn this $11 billion in front of me. That is the only way that somebody would probably do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you have... No, it's not 11. It's $211 billion.
Oh, I'm sorry, $211 right? billion. Well, what's the share on Amazon? 11%, you said?
11%, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to pay somebody else
enough money to enforce it. Yeah, it would take a lot of people, a lot of time to do all that. And at some point, I would imagine they would all just look at each other like, let's just go ahead and split this money up and fucking get out of here because fuck this old dumb bald bitch. You know what I mean? That's what I would do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And legally, I would give his kids most of it too. I keep a bill for myself and give the other $210 to his kids.
Because
they deserve it for having to put up with that turd.
Yeah. I was looking at the divorce for the Gates family and in there originally they had, I think it was only like $10 million was going per kid. Right. They were giving the rest to charity or whatever bullshit thing there. The Gates are fucking pressing on people because let's face it, that charity's for a tax haven. It is not for so they can buy up more farmland and all that other bullshit. But they went back in and changed it and gave the kids more money at the end of it. Yeah, you give the kids some money and then you have them burn the rest. Mackenzie would do it. She'd burn the rest. She got married. She already got remarried, right, to the teacher?
Yeah, and she's got 70 bill of her own, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And she's already like giving away. Yeah. How much? She just gave some to your school, Delco.
She gives it to a bunch. But, yeah, she's giving away like 8
million. Yeah,
8 billion.
8 billion already she's already given away. And then she gave a bunch to UCF.
Like 200 different organizations.
One was UCF of all places. And I was like, yes. Like, what the fuck? UTSA was one of them. University of Texas, San Antonio.
That's weird.
Yeah. Super fucking weird. I don't know if it's the teacher or not, but who knows? Next up, a Hollywood legend says movies are done. This is Barry Diller, who, in this case, whenever you read these stories, the word legend is thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
So is icon and goats. In this case, I can tell you, yes, Barry Diller is an absolute legend. He was the CEO of Paramount and 20th Century Fox for a while. Now he's saying what I've been saying forever, is that the movie industry in America is finished. The movie business is over, is what he's saying. This is a direct quote. The movie business as before is finished and will never come back. Sure, ticket sales are down domestically, but Diller isn't solely focused on that. And on this show, you know, we've talked a lot about AMC. I think the theaters can come back for these big event movies and things like that. But what he's saying is movies, as far as like overall deals, not going directly to streaming, streaming not wanting to own the rights of them, that is done. And he is 100% correct in that.
He also goes on to talk about the implications of that, which is that more power over the writing and editing process go farther up the chain of command at that point.
Correct.
Right? If streaming is the only place, anytime there's a monopoly, it's bad. Mm-hmm. But even if there's a monopoly on distribution, right? If only streaming is happening, then the old ways of doing it are gone. Look, that's creative destruction. That's how it works. But it boxes out the independent person in a lot of ways. So now, instead of, and he talks about it, he says, these streaming services have been making something that they call movies. They ain't movies. There's some weird algorithmic process that has created things the last 100 minutes or so. Like, yes. That's precisely what it is. Like, mm-hmm. if you use that as a two-way system, if digital streaming is your two-way system, then you would be a fool not to use the feedback coming in the other direction to make your movie not necessarily better, but not even more entertaining, just captivating people longer or selling shit more, right? Who knows? So it's gone away from being an artist-focused thing, mm-hmm. and it's all about China now. It's all about pump and dump. Like, pump out these fucking things, dump them on the streaming service, move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and speaking of which, there's a new movie that came out over 4th of July weekend, this Chris Pratt movie. The fuck was the name of that movie?
The Tomorrow War.
The Tomorrow War, yeah. When I saw the trailer for that, because I didn't watch the fucking movie, a bunch of Drinking Bro listeners, though, were talking about the small size of his gun, about how tiny the gun was for killing aliens that big. It looked like just Independence Day or, you know, every other fucking formulaic movie where there's aliens in it. The white hero's got to fucking kill them and, you know, kind of move on with your life. He's right. Look, I know Ryan Kavanaugh, who is head of Triller now, used to be head of Relativity Media. When he got all of his financing for his company, was pumping out all those movies, they were using algorithms of like, all right, let's look at the four quadrant box office and then see what people are going out to see. Aliens was one of them. Saving the World was obviously another. Some type of action figure, some type of hot woman. And then saving the day at the end of it against all odds, blah, blah, blah. Yes, you're going to see these over and over and over again. The only ones that are really taking risk right now are TV shows, because you can. If a TV show fails, you're not getting into the budgets of a $200 million Chris Pratt movie or something like that. Yeah. With TV, you can take risk a little more. Dave is a perfect example of that on FX. Although nobody's watching FX, they're watching on Hulu the day after. It's got the second highest ratings behind Atlanta as far as comedies go. But man, the Dave episode I watched two nights ago, he's buck naked. The producer's buck naked. Mm-hmm. He's got peanut butter in his asshole.
Yeah.
And he's rubbing his ball sack on the other guy's forehead. And yeah, you can get away with that in TV, but they're not making comedy movies like that anymore.
No,
they're not even making comedy movies at all.
They're not even trying.
No.
Right? So, yeah, it's weird. It's weird, but it tells you that it's not the fact that there isn't a public appetite for that type of content, because Dave is wildly popular.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you that the people who are in charge of these studios, which we know are primarily Chinese fucking businessmen at this point, are all they care about is money. They don't give a fuck about anything else. Like, I'm going to give you a dollar and you're going to give me back two. That's just how it is. And if it doesn't work like that, then it doesn't happen. So there's no appetite. Like, how many movies, this is the real fucking problem with this whole thing. How many movies have been terrible at the box office, but then become, billion-dollar industry box, or cult classics, right?
Yep.
Like 25,000 people saw Boondock Saints in the theater. But that movie's been watched hundreds of millions of times now and made that those dudes a lot of fucking money.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And it spawned a sequel.
And there's not going to be any tolerance for that. There's not going to be an avenue for that kind of thing to happen. For a movie that isn't marketed correctly or just doesn't come out at the right time or isn't relevant now or whatever the fuck it is to get success downstream. It's going to be there and then be forgotten forever. It's like a podcast episode almost.
Yeah.
Or a tweet. It's just like fire and forget. That's not how movies work.
No.
You know what I mean? Everybody that's listening to this right now remembers a dozen movies that they watched as a child. And those movies bring back certain things, like memories, or a memory reminds you of the movie, or whatever it is. That shit's going to be gone now. It's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, that's going to be gone. And fuck, man. It's sad, frankly. I mean, shit. I think you still need movies in this world, and you still need people to take risk. But I'm glad you brought up Boondock Saints. I don't know if you guys watched that documentary on Boondock Saints. It's one of the wildest documentaries I've ever seen. And the guys that were directing it, I think they were brothers. Is Giorgio or Delco Dan back there?
Dan is, yeah.
Yeah. I think they were brothers. And the way they turned on the fucking studio was the craziest shit of all time. And it was Harvey Weinstein. And they said, no, this is our movie. We want to make this the way we want and blah, 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 blah. Once that fucking doc came out, everybody was like, all right, if you want an original movie like a Boondock Saints that does really well and all that shit, do I really want to put up with these fucking people behind the scenes who are this crazy in the creative space? And as the years have ticked by, the answer is no. They'll put up with it for a little bit. And I almost think... what Barry Diller didn't say in this is I almost think that studios want that too. They want to be able to control the filmmakers. They want to be able to control the scripts and all that other shit. They don't want to put up with these wildly creative types that could fuck up a budget, fuck up a schedule, or take a risk so big that it ruins their studio and there's a bunch of backlash.
I think it's time for a return for that. I think
I 100% agree.
A strange St. James Street James director might make his return at some point in time.
We would love it. Dan and I were talking about it the other day. We're sitting on a ton of scripts. It's not that. It's getting the financing for him. And, you know, I know I talked with Danny Trejo about this and Donald Logue on Ross Patterson Revolution today. But you can't get those financed anymore without like 90 huge stars in an independent movie that's like $1.8 million. Like, you can't do that anymore. And the ones that are out there for the big stars are these fucking cookie cutter movies that they need those checks. Like, Chris Pratt still wants to make fucking $20 million a movie.
$1.8 million movie sounds like a lady in a boat, Ross. No. I think that's we're one boat away from getting these movie financed.
Hey, man, we're all one boat away. We're all one boat away in this life, Giorgio. Unfortunately, but yeah.
I'm just reading about this. Both of those Boondock Saints movies, including the sequel, the budgets were $6 and $8 million respectively.
Yep.
Both bombed at the box office.
Correct.
Both presently have made over $50 million each right now
on DVD. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they've been a minimum of an 8x return.
Oh yeah.
At this point. But there's no tolerance for that. Because there's no tolerance for taking that amount of time to let it happen. It's fucking stupid. You're throwing money away. Like, you're getting the quick hit and then throwing away content. Not only does the art itself suffer, this is what happens with every fucking shitty company when they try to expand before they're ready.
Yeah.
They weaken the product, right? Mm-hmm. The product starts to suck, but there's more of it, so people are inundated with it. And then some fucking startup... some fucking spark plug or whatever fucking stupid analogy you want to use comes up with some new fucking format or some new product that challenges this, and that old shit goes the fuck away. SoundCloud did it to the entire record industry. They fucked the record industry up bad. All those old white Jews, they're fucking pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not able to take advantage of people anymore.
It's done, in a lot of ways. Son.
So what is it going to be for this? And we've seen it with podcasts. That makes sense. We've seen it with SoundCloud for music. What's the film version of that going to look like? I really wonder, because now you can go out and buy a camera equipment just as good as what people use to produce movies for not that much money, to be honest.
Dude, look at the quality on our YouTube channel, man, on Drinking Bros Podcast. Like, everybody who watches it is like, holy shit.
But where does the content go is the question.
Yes.
If it's all Netflix and Hulu and et cetera, that's not going to work. There's got to be something else. There's got to be a SoundCloud for fucking video.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And you know.
And it's not YouTube.
No, and more of these people and more of these like older studios are looking to sell. You know, MGM just sold to Amazon. Mm-hmm. I just put money on in the stock market in Lionsgate. Mm-hmm. I think Lionsgate is the next one to go and get sold. And unfortunately, it's just going to be a never-ending, you know, series of acquisitions and weird streaming services that get these old movies. I was on something the other day. I think it was called Tubi. T-U-B-I, and there was a bunch of like old movies on there, like Caddyshack was on there, and I'm like, the fuck has all the rights to this shit and why? But that's kind of it. And then if you're an actor, from the actor perspective of this, you're not getting the residuals anymore from streaming services. Nope. So like these checks that are coming in are like $3, $6 for leads in films over the years, and you're just like, dude, I don't know what the incentive is to either become a film director. I also don't know what the incentive is to become a film actor, because right now there's a handful of people making top dollar, and the rest of them who used to live off of residuals and everything else from Screen Actors Guild, it isn't there. So you've almost got to hop on and be a series regular in a TV show, or I don't know how you make enough money to live.
Yeah. That's a good question.
So he's not wrong. Last but not least here, the U.S. flag is now a hate symbol, according to BLM. Dope. Big shock. The Utah chapter of Black Lives Matter recently made a Facebook post claiming the U.S. flag is a symbol of hatred and those who display it are racist. The post read in part, "When we see this flag, we know the person flying it is racist. When we see this flag, we know the person flying it lives in a different America than we do. When we see this flag, we question your intelligence. We know to avoid you. It is a symbol of hatred." This is the craziest shit. I keep saying that. Actually, I should stop saying that. This is not the craziest shit I've ever seen. Every week when we do this fucking show, Dan, I say that. I feel like every goddamn week, this is the craziest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah. This is pretty goddamn dumb, though.
Yeah.
You know, as things go, and it's funny because you heard a lot of the rhetoric kind of at a lower level than this, but parroted by elected officials like Maxine Waters and Cori Bush, both of whom are fucking idiots, on, you know, over the July 4th weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like taking being married and taking the time during your anniversary weekend to go over all the negative shit that's going on in your marriage. That right. seems like a good idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if that shows that they have this their stance, their default position towards America is negative right now. Now, how has anybody ever made anything better when their default position towards it is negative? If we're trying to make this show better, we're like, man, this show really sucks. We really need to make it better. That is not the way to fucking go about talking about it. It's not the way to go about executing on that either.
Right.
You're like, you take the reason the military does this, it sustains and improves, right? When you do an AR, an after action report, the first thing you do is talk about sustains. All right, what do we do right? Okay, cool. We did all this right. Great. Now, what do we do wrong? Did we talk about that? And you come back and usually talk about the other shit you did right at the end. And there's a reason for that. It's because if you're actually intent on making things better, on improving, on being a meritocracy, on having the best possible product, and in this case, product is American society, that's how you frame it. Mm-hmm. If you're just trying to be a contrarian or an asshole or a participant in the fucking outrage Olympics, this is how you talk. Because there's what we were talking about with fucking Bedrosian the other day. There's fucking social capital attached to being a victim or speaking out against something, whether it needs to be spoken out against or not, right? It's fucking stupid. These people are wasting so much time, and it's just, is it any surprise? Was anybody at all surprised when we found out that the CEOs or the chapter heads of BLM started spending millions of dollars on shit? Was anybody surprised? Because if you were surprised by that, you're a fucking dumb, man. That shit was, they telegraphed the fuck out of that. Obviously, that's what's going on. It's what's always gone on. There's an issue of some sort, and some asshole shows up and tries to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
That's humans, right? Human beings do that shit all the time. And, you know, when we are in these periods where people are too distracted, too busy, too focused on other stuff, or they've been fucking brainwashed, which is this case, nothing ever gets done about it. These people are allowed to say stuff like this with impunity, And the expectation, right, from the woke audience is that if I were to come speak out against how stupid this is, I should be canceled for it, or I should be criticized for my opinion on their opinion. That's retarded.
Yeah.
That's how a fucking child thinks. Like, you can't talk back to me like that. Like, well, yeah, we can have a conversation. And if you don't want to do that, get the fuck out, bro.
Yeah, and then obviously this post received, you know, a ton of backlash, but they doubled down on their claims. They said in response to people offended by the posts, the group stated, we will be donating. I'm sorry, we will. There we go. Vegas got me, dude. We will be donating $1 to AOC's election campaign for every racist that we block. Thank you for contributing to the re-election of AOC.
Their position is that anybody that disagrees with their premise is automatically a racist.
Mm-hmm.
That's really fucking stupid.
Why AOC? If you're,
I have no idea.
BLM,
what is she?
She's not black.
What has she done for minorities in this country, except for remove $30 billion out of a very strongly minority fucking populated area?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say, right?
But she's also not black. It's almost like they picked the one person media-wise that they think conservatives hate the most and said, fuck you, we're going to do this. And then over the weekend, Macy Gray had said something about changing the United States flag as well. What the fuck is that going to do? All of it's stupid. And none of it makes any sense. And I just... Fucking A, man. When we read this shit, it's just so fucking nuts.
I'm
like, where are we going from here? That's what I worry about all of this shit is, where do we go from here? Because if you can't call out that this is a fucking terrorist organization,
yeah,
what are we doing, dude?
I don't know.
Are we doing?
I tell you where I'm going.
Where's that?
I'm going to Gordon Ramsay's steak to eat a big ass steak. But before we go, there's some breaking news here. Michael Avenatti, the porn lawyer. He just got sentenced to 2.5 years in prison for trying to extort Nike.
No shit. I wonder if Stelzer is going to do a piece. Brian Stelzer on CNN.
Oh, man. I feel like Stelzer.
Were homies, dude.
Have you seen Sin City?
Yeah.
Do you remember how the kid, the little fucked up alien looking kid? That's what Brian Stelzer looks like to me.
Yes.
Who is it that plays that? It's the guy from Lord of the Rings. What's his name?
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
There you go.
Yeah.
There
so Elijah Wood's character in Sin City, that to me is Brian Stelzer.
Yeah, they were
He's 35 years old.
Yeah. They were fucking
Jesus
homies.
Christ.
And I have not seen a post all day on his Twitter feed about this. Huge shock. Now's the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week. And he's actually here. Richard Danoff. Welcome, dude. Pick up the mic, brother. Is it on?
I believe so. Yes, it is.
Oh, Big Dick Danoff is in the house. Again, we are live from Las Vegas going to the Conor McGregor fight. You had hit us up and said, hey, man, I want to go to the fight. What are the chances of that? And I said, well, you're a drinking bro. They're great. So we'll be there. However, those tickets are a little steep. And you said, fuck it. I'm gambling anyways. You showed up with a fanny pack with 15 grand in it. How's your Vegas trip going so far?
It's going good. I want a special shout out to a theater kid for having something else to do so I could go to the fight with you. You know, thanks, Hot Bob.
There you go. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to? We do so many events with you at Ohio State because, you know, let's face it, they're going to be top three again. So we always head up there for a game, usually Penn State or Michigan or something like that. And we're super grateful for everything that you've done for us. And not only that, in the community. I feel like everybody knows who you are. Is there anybody that you personally want to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'm going to give the Drinking Bro of the Week to Kreger's.
Mm. Dulesky.
Dulesky. You know, love the guy. You're getting DB of the Week because I'm getting a plus one. So just so you know that when you see this, I am getting a plus one.
Dan, I don't know if you know this, but he wants to take Tiffany to Craig Dulesky's wedding.
She already said yes.
Mm. Well, there you go. You got it all squared away.
It is.
What's the date? Is it October the 13th or 17th or some shit? I don't remember the exact day.
It's in the middle of October. Craig has asked me to officiate, and I said I would, Kreger's.
I think you should go in like a full cowboy outfit, like an Old West sheriff.
Like if Tolu changed from moving to Texas.
Jared's already done that one, though.
Has he?
Yeah, he did it in Colorado a couple years ago. What about an astronaut? What if Bezos dies and you show up as Bezos?
Bro.
Full-on astronaut costume.
I think I could go Branson because then I could go Summer of Swayze and dye the hair blonde again and then and grow it out and go Big Dick Branson. Not that I want him to die, Look, I want to make this clear. I want Bezos to die, not Branson. But yeah, I could do that, or we could go Dumb and Dumber suits, you and I.
We could do that, yeah.
I'm sure
Brittany would certainly be thrilled with having to dress like a fucking asshole.
And I'm sure Craig's wife would be amped about it, his new role to be.
Do a live show from the wedding, and all the donations could go towards their...
divorce. Those divorce lawyers are expensive. Craig's... Hope you don't have to find that out, my man. Richard, thank you for being here with us today, man. And thanks for everything you do for the community and then the tailgates and everything else. We love you, buddy. And I'm amped to go to the fight with you on Saturday. And shit, you called at the right time. We could only get tickets in two. So it's you and I.
Yes, sir.
You and I, my man. We will be there live from the McGregor fight. In the meantime, John Anik will be on the show on a bonus episode on this feed tomorrow. And don't forget to subscribe to Drinking Bros Sports. And please go to iTunes and rate the show a 5-star and leave a quick review. That is what keeps us on the charts. It has been almost 7 years we've been on the charts. So please keep leaving reviews and 5 stars on iTunes. We appreciate it. For D'Anthony Holiday... Holloway.
Wow, man, that's
my God! Look, you know how much we've been drinking. It is Vegas. It's forgive me.
Oof,
it's bad.
That might be the worst one of all time.
Maybe
because that's a word you've said probably like
4,000 times.
Yeah, a million times.
You're welcome. You're welcome for me. Big Dick Danoff. I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.